Change is all around us. It is frightening, challenging, and horrifically beautiful. Most importantly, it is inevitable. We might as well accept that fact now rather than avoid it until later. From our very conception, we are immersed in change. It marches forward relentlessly, leaving nothing untouched, including our skin. The march can be either slow or fast. Either way, it is always occurring. Every breath we take in is different from the last. Each second we are alive, we grow older and hopefully wiser. We may not notice these changes at first, but if we stop for a second to observe ourselves and the world around us, we will see this change happening. Have you ever taken a few moments to glance out of a window? Perhaps with a glance this past week, you would notice rain starting to form and fall down from the sky, as it is a relatively quick change of such a large magnitude that affects us in our daily life. Yet, on the surface, everything else may seem to have remained the same. But if you are fully present in the moment, all you would see would be tiny changes constantly occurring, all of which would have prepared you for the coming of the rain. The clouds you first saw in the sky were changing and were gone and replaced by new ones. A passing breeze moves the leaves of the trees and blades of grass into new positions, ever so slightly. You would notice the flowers in your gardens, maybe, slowly growing and dying, along with all the insects scurrying around to new places. All of these changes are small, but still noticeable if you center yourself into the moment and watch. Of course, our society doesn't teach us to take notice of such small changes, rather, only the large ones. We take notice of the changes that are blatant to us, and we ask ourselves, how did that come about again? But if we were present and aware, we would notice all of the small changes that led up to the big one. What is even more challenging for us is that our society also teaches us a very hypocritical stance when it comes to change. We all desire it on some level, but then when it is happening to us and in our lives, we resist it, much like a teenager might resist the direction and authority of a parent. We scurry back to what is safe for us and throw up our walls. Take Jonah, for example. Here is a man who God called out to Nineveh to proclaim a message of justice and repentance to them. Now, Jonah wasn't born a prophet, nor did he ever plan on becoming one. There's no, college degree, propheting 101. Yet, God instigated a change in him, and it was a big one. Instead of embracing that change and growing from it, instead, he flees from God, desiring the safety of what he knows, rather than finding out what great things could be outside of his tiny walls. Then, after much nagging and prodding and general fish consumption, he grumbly accepts this change and does what God has commanded him to do from the very beginning. The funny thing is, once he does what God asks of him, he kind of liked it. So much so that when the people to which he was proclaiming changed without balking and immediately repented, and God granted them mercy, he grew angry at God because God didn't obliterate them as originally planned. How dare God? In this short story, we see Jonah begin as apprehensive towards change, then finally embracing it, just to turn back around and become apprehensive again when God initiates another change. Doesn't seem like he learned his lesson, did he? How about our reading from Mark this morning? There we see nothing but change. We find Jesus calling out to the individuals who would soon become his disciples, telling them to leave behind their only source of income, their families, and all that they know, just to follow him, a man who they really didn't know that much about. Yet, unlike Jonah, they practically jump at the chance, throw down their nets, and off they went. No thought required. Now, I ask you, who are you more like? Jonah or the men from Mark? Realistically speaking, we are all Jonah. We wouldn't just drop everything and run off with some stranger who came by and said, "Hey, y'all, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people for the rest of your life." Instead, I think we would all put up our walls like Jonah did. Think the person who was talking to us just a tad bit strange and go back to our work. In all honesty, I don't even believe that Mark presents this story truthfully. What most likely happened is that it took time for those individuals to come around to this hard decision. They probably already knew Jesus pretty well, had heard him preached a few times, and they most certainly would have brought their families along with them. Yet though Mark's story can come across as unrealistic when compared to what might actually have occurred, he may have had a theological reason for presenting the story in this way. While we all may be Jonahs at our heart, perhaps Mark's purpose was to depict how we all should respond when God is calling us, when change occurs. Constantly accepting and embracing change is fundamental for living out our faith and understanding our relationship with God. Nothing shows this more than the meaning of God's name itself. In the book of Exodus, God gives to Moses, and through him, us, humanity, a glimpse into the true nature of who God is. Though we do not use the Hebrew term Yahweh in our services, perhaps we should, or at the very least, recognize and discuss its meaning and importance on a constant basis. Listen to this passage from Exodus. "But Moses said to God, 'If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' He said further, 'Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you.'" Isn't that miraculous? When asked for the name, God responds with giving the meaning of who God is. "I am who I am." Or a more accurate translation of the Hebrew would be, "I will be what I will be." By revealing the divine name to humanity, God opens the doors of knowledge and understanding to us, giving us a glimpse of God's true nature, a nature that is always evolving and changing. This is why the presentation of Mark's story is so important for us. Though we may be Jonahs at heart, God is calling us to be and act as the disciples are in Mark's story. The sad thing is, it is just so hard for us to be that kind of disciple. Because we naturally cling to what is safe and what we know, we turn away from God and are unable to make those huge changes God is calling us to make in our lives. That is, unless we are constantly watching and embracing the small ones that prepare us for the big changes. The readings from today remind me of a time not so long ago when I was personally struggling with a changing faith and relationship with God. It was during the fall semester of my senior year that I began to understand God in a different way look at God through very different eyes and experience God's power in a way that I had never witnessed before. These changes in understanding, while small in the grand scheme of things and in the problems of the world, scared me to my very core, so much so that I feared that by voicing my questions and changes in belief to my faith community, I would be alienated by them. So I turned to a trusted mentor and friend for advice, who, funny enough, just happened to be an ordained clergy of the Baptist Church. To her, I revealed my questions and doubts that had been weighing on my heart for that time. What if Jesus wasn't divine, but was fully human and only God's greatest prophet? What if he was divine, and God revealed God's self to humanity through him only? If we understand and say that God is beyond gender, why do we then use only masculine language in the church? Is it wrong for me to see and connect with God through the feminine rather than the masculine? How can I be true to my understanding of God while still respecting other understandings? And most importantly, why is my understanding changing now of all times when I had never questioned it before? To my questions, she just offered a small grin, and she offered this advice and counsel that I'd like to share with you this morning. God is beyond our full comprehension and knowing, because God is always changing. It's God's nature. As we grow, learn, and experience life, God molds herself to be what is most relatable to us, taking on the form and understanding that we can connect with the most. Where our doubts and questions come from is that all of us develop an understanding of God in our youth, and we hold on to it for dear life. We take it along our life with us, and we place it into a box, and we shut the lid. We place God in a box and refuse to let him out. Eventually, God comes along and places these questions in our hearts, hoping that we will wrestle with them, embrace them, and tear open that box that we have imprisoned God in. If we are open to that change, we throw open the box lid and we let God out. In that moment, we see God in a new light and develop a deeper understanding of who and what God truly is. And again, we will be at peace, at least until we begin to become comfortable with that particular understanding of God, and we place God back into a new box. What God calls us to do with our lives is to keep throwing away those boxes each and every time they start to sneak back into our lives. We are to embrace the questions, embrace the fear and the doubt, and embrace the change that is God. That memory stays in the forefront of my mind always, reminding me to remain open to the changes that God has made in my life and will make in my life. There is no stopping her from being who she is. So rather than hide from God, I try to embrace her every single day. And it's not just within our personal lives that we see God changing and growing, but in our communities as well, both in our churches and in our larger church. A good example of this was our diocesan council this weekend. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but there was a resolution put towards our council delegates to change the word from council to convention. The reason behind this is to remove an impediment that was put in place during the Civil War, a small term that has been soaked and saturated with racism and bigotry and discrimination. And this weekend, our council took a step towards embracing that change, embracing a church that is more open and inclusive and revealing of God's love. As we leave our church today and you go out into the world to do your normal activities, be with your families, and go on to work during the week, I have a few questions for you. What does the box look like that you have kept God in? What questions has God placed into your hearts over the years? Are you wrestling with them, or are you ignoring them? How might your relationship with God grow, flourish, and become more meaningful if you ask them both to yourself and to your fellow members of this congregation? And how can we, as a community of faith, embrace these questions together and provide a safe, loving, nurturing, and trusting environment in which to ask them? Finally, do you wish to remain a Jonah your whole life? Or do you desire to become a disciple of change? A disciple of the ever-changing, living God? In the name of the great I Am, Amen.